This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
And we welcome you back in, folks. Good to have you with us. Another big hour coming up, and one that is going to skewer one fraud by the name of Katie Couric. One understands why she lost her job as an anchor. When you hear what we're going to talk about this hour, in a stunning kind of duplicity that is blatant hypocrisy, and Katie Couric is nothing other than a bought and paid for radical leftist who has chosen to give up legitimate journalism for the fraud of pretending she's a journalist while spewing out balderdash and poppycock on the gun issue in a film that she is now doing. And no one knows better about it than our guest, who is here to talk about this fraud, Dr. John Lott. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and he is here to get into this matter in depth. Dr. Lott, thanks for being with us. How are you, sir? Let's first of all lay out, what is the Crime Prevention Research Center, the organization you lead?
Who know a lot about crime. We do research on a wide range of issues, from the impact of policing on crime rates to gun control to other types of issues. And, we know basically where the numbers are buried in a lot of places, and we do studies and try to find out what the real relationships are between those types of factors in crime rates.
Let me ask you this. Dr. Gary Fleck at the University of South Florida, I believe it is, or Florida State.
Florida State, right.
Yeah. He has, you're obviously familiar with his study. He's a self-proclaimed liberal, a self-proclaimed supporter of the People for the American Way, self-proclaimed gun control advocate. But to his credit, his study determined that, and he reported it this way, that owning guns is a deterrent to crime by honest citizens. I think by the ratio of protecting and preventing crime as opposed to accidentally causing crime is something like 5-1. So, I mean, the numbers are there, and if the people on the left want to be honest about it, is it not the case that honest people having guns is actually a deterrent to violent crime?
Right. Well, I think Gary makes a strong point there, and there have been lots of other surveys that look at the rate that people use guns defensively to stop crime, and there's surveys that are used to try to figure out how often people use guns in the commissions of crimes. And one of the reasons why they have to rely on those surveys is that not all crimes are reported to police. So we know that about half of rapes are reported to police, and you look at something like larceny, it's only about 7% or so. But the reason why they have at least a rough guess of the rate at which crimes are reported to police is they have the number of crimes reported to police, but then they have to go and have surveys in order to have a guess at what's the underlying crime rate that is there. So you have something like the National Crime Victimization Survey, which has been done for almost 40 years by the federal government, that goes and shows recently that there's about 400,000 crimes a year that are committed with guns. And by contrast, there's about 2 million times a year that people use guns defensively to stop crime.
Yeah, the 5-to-1 number I gave earlier bears out what you just said. Let me give you a couple of anecdotal incidents. These are not statistical studies, but I'm wondering whether, from your experience in doing studies, whether this resonates with you. I have a friend who, he and his wife live in Brooklyn, went into New York City to see a Broadway show on a Saturday night, saw the show, had dinner, go back to their car, and a thug comes up to them and says, give me your money. It happened that my friend is one of the lucky few who has a concealed weapons permit in New York City, and he drew it and said, I don't think you want to get involved in this. And the guy bolted and left running down the street as if he was running a marathon. It seems to me, at least, that there are many, many, many of those cases that don't get numerically quantified, but these cases are, in fact, real, pervasive, and out there. And I'll give you one more and then let you respond to both. A woman in Linwood, Washington, is at home, has a townhouse. Guy comes in through a window, proceeds to rape her, and when he's finished, she asks to use the facility. He says, okay. She happened to have her purse is between her and the restroom. She gets to the purse, has a handgun, pulls it out, holds it on the guy, tells him not to move or he's gone, dials 911. Turned out the guy was a serial rapist, wound up spending life, is still in prison, life in prison without parole, for a series of serial rapes of women. Without that gun, of course, he goes on and commits more rapes of more women, and that's the history of it. Those two cases resonate with you at all?
Oh, sure. Look, I was chief economist for the U.S. Sentencing Commission for a couple of years, and I must have read well over 1,000 transcripts of different court trials. And one of the things that strikes you, because you see so many similar cases, is how the criminals chose their victims. You'll often get one criminal to turn evidence against another criminal that's there in the plea bargaining process. And the prosecutor's questions in those cases tend to be very similar. And they would say, well, how did you pick the victim that you did to go after? And invariably, the reasons are the same. They'll say, well, you know, we knew the drug dealer down the street had a lot of money, but he was armed. That would be pretty crazy to go after him. Or they'll maybe mention cab drivers and say, well, you know, they're often armed. But they'll say, we saw some kind of weak-looking guy walking across a parking lot in the evening. Or we saw a small woman walking by herself. And they'll say, the person looked like a very easy target. I mean, criminals are no different than anybody else. If you make the job relatively more difficult, they're less likely to go and do that crime. Right now, we have about 13 million Americans, something over 13 million, that legally carry permanent concealed handguns in the United States, far more than you'd see in a place like New York City. You know, it's a rate. But what you see happening when you have more concealed carry permits out there are several different things. One is some criminals stop committing crime. Some criminals move into types of crimes where they don't have to worry about direct contact with armed defendants. So you'll switch from something like robbery, which involves direct contact between the victim and the criminal, into something like larceny, which occurs when the victim's not present. And some will move to another area if there's an area that they can go to where they don't have to worry about their victims being able to go and defend themselves. But just as you can make it more costly, more difficult for criminals to commit crime when you have more police or more effective policing, the fact that a would-be victim might be able to defend themselves also makes it riskier for criminals to go and commit crime.
It makes a lot of sense, and that's why we're going to get into this campaign and the Hillary Clinton view on firearms, which is just irrational, about gun manufacturers as well. Coming back with Dr. John Lott, good to have him with us. from the Crime Prevention Research Center. Mike Siegel here. More on this issue. We'll get to Katie Couric, too. Stay.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Was The Exorcist a fictional movie? This is Mike Siegel. Once you hear my interviews with Father Eugene Gallagher recorded in March of 1974, you will believe that possession and exorcism are powerful and real forces in the universe. Father Gallagher taught William Peter Blatty on the subject of exorcism, which led Blatty to write the book and result in the production of the film version of The Exorcist in 1973. Father Gallagher's interviews with me were so powerful that Warner Home Video decided to use 20 minutes of our 2.5-hour interview in the 40th anniversary release of The Exorcist last year. Now you can have the entire 2.5-hour interview on DVD. Order your copy of this unforgettable interview at www.mikesiegel.com. That's www.mikesiegel.com. Keep the lights on when you watch this compelling interview. www.mikesiegel.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
We're back at it, folks. Good to be here as we move along with Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, has done a great deal of research on the gun issue, ownership of firearms. Dr. Lott, let me start with the easy one, and then we'll go to the more difficult ones with regard to this campaign. Hillary Clinton is talking about holding manufacturers accountable. She's somehow possessed by her focus on going after the gun manufacturers. Now, I'm not clear as to what she means by that, because if the manufacturer manufactures the firearm properly and it is able to operate for its intended purpose in the way that it was alleged to have been produced, and it does so in the way that it is assured that the gun will work, and therefore the user of that gun will have it perform in the manner that it was expected. So we have that established. Obviously, if there's a defect in the gun, that's a separate issue. But if the gun's manufactured properly and operates properly, how can you hold a gun manufacturer liable for a criminal killing somebody with a gun any more than you could have somebody who's a DUI killing somebody in an automobile accident?
Right. Well, I think Hillary's made some false claims about this topic. She said that there's no liability for these producers, and you've essentially just outlined cases where if they didn't do what you were saying, they would be liable. So if you knowingly sell it to a criminal, or if you don't go obey the law with regard to background checks, for example, and a criminal gets it and then uses it in crime, then you would be liable. You could be sued in those cases. But as long as you follow what the law is have no knowledge or reasonable knowledge that the gun would be used in the commission of a crime, you're not going to be held liable, just as somebody who's at a car dealership isn't going to be held liable for that. What happened before, over a decade ago, was that gun manufacturers are fairly small entities in the United States, and what you'd have different cities or other places around the country that would go and simultaneously bring lawsuits against the manufacturers with the hope that simply having so many lawsuits go on in so many different places at the same time would force companies into bankruptcy and drive them from the market simply by having to go and deal with all those different lawsuits. That was the point. I mean, the people who are bringing the lawsuits could have lost every single lawsuit. But the fact that there'd be so many being brought at the same time could accomplish what gun control advocates really wanted to do, and that was just eliminate the sale of guns in the United States, or to make it so costly, the final product that's there, that very, very few people would be able to legally own a gun. And so, the analogy that you give to another product is, I think, exactly right. Nobody would hold a hardware store criminally liable because someone who appears to be completely law-abiding goes and buys a hammer and then uses it to strike somebody a year later.
Yeah, that's the point. So here's my problem. Number one, she's an attorney, knows the law, and a bright woman. And number two, is being disingenuous, in my view, because she knows what the law is, and she's bringing up this issue about the manufacturers in order to get political gain, when she knows in her heart of hearts that she can't win that case anyway, except if there's some negligence on the part of the manufacturer, and then she should be able to win. So isn't this really a political ploy, and isn't it really disingenuous and a misrepresentation of what the law says about these kinds of cases?
Yeah, I think that's clearly the case. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. And somebody should hold her accountable for it. Trump sometimes doesn't really get to the substance of an issue, and he should in that case. Somebody should bring that up.
Sanders has made some of the defense that you've been raising.
Yeah, no, he has. And to his credit, I don't agree with Bernie on much, but certainly he's done that. And he and Howard Dean both, as governor, the NRA's rated them very highly. So I guess Vermont's that kind of state. But let me turn to the other question. I think this is a tougher question. We know that the federal law requires for a federally licensed gun dealer to do a background check. They go through the computer system, the national database, and I don't know whether it's 3 days or whatever length of time it is, that they have to wait to determine whether that person is qualified to own a firearm, that they're not a convicted felon, that they're not a spouse abuser, that they're not psychiatrically defective. And so they must take the time to do that. But if you go to a gun show, or if you sell a gun to your next door neighbor, you don't have any requirement to do any of these things, even though it's the same process of conveying a gun from one party to another. Now, when you sell a car to your neighbor, you have to change the registration and the title, and the state knows about that transfer of that piece of property, that automobile. The argument's, I think, much stronger for those on the so-called gun control side to say, let's have uniformity. If the licensed dealer has to require a background check, why shouldn't gun shows and private sales have required the same? What's your thought about that?
Well, just for accuracy, you don't need to have a title tracked or changed if you're going to only use the car on your own personal property. You only need to have it if you're going to be going and using public streets that are there.
Yeah, I'm just saying if somebody sells a car in every state, you're required to transfer ownership, the title.
Well, I think it's only if the car is going to actually be used on public property. I mean, obviously, if you're going to use a car on public property, you better have a title. You have
right.
to have a license. You don't have to have a license, even, for example, if you're only going to be using a car on your private property. You know, if you have a farm or something, you're just going to drive it around your farm.
That would be a rare case, though, Dr. Lott.
No, I understand, but I
think your point is about the gun, that maybe somebody only uses it on their own property for target shooting, perhaps, or for security in their home. Is that your point?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's more likely that somebody would just have a gun for their home, for example, than obviously a car. But I'm just saying, in that sense, the rules are similar. But look, you bring up an important point. I mean, everybody wants to try to go and keep guns away from criminals. The thing is, these background check systems have some real problems and issues there, and they're trade-offs that we have in life. And so one of the questions that we have is, how costly are these? So when the president in January holds this town hall that was on CNN, and this woman who was a rape victim, brutally raped for 3.5 hours, asked him, why does he want to make it difficult for law-abiding citizens to have guns? He said he didn't. The problem is that in D.C., for example, it costs $125 to go and transfer a gun, because you have to go through a licensed dealer in order to do it. That's a real cost. That may not stop you or I from being able to get a gun, but the types of people that my research finds benefit the most from owning guns, the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, that may make the difference between whether or not they're able to protect themselves and their family. It's just one cost.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
When we travel for business or pleasure, we all want to be treated with the quality of accommodations and service we deserve. That is why when I travel, I make sure to stay at Drury Hotels. This is Mike Siegel, and this is a very special hotel company operated and owned by the Drury family. With their name at the center of their service to the public, they offer a special brand of hotel experience. How about a free hot breakfast? Free hot evening food? Free evening beverages? Free Wi-Fi? Free long distance. What other hotel chain offers all this? The answer is none at any price. And because the Drury family selects their own sites, owns and operates their hotels, they can assure total consistency throughout the chain. With J.D. Powers and Associates giving their customer service award to Drury Hotels for the past 9 years, you know this is the best hotel chain for you. DruryHotels.com for reservations. That's DruryHotels.com, where the extras aren't extra.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682. 1682.
Welcome back, folks. Good to have you with us. We are talking about your right to keep and bear arms and the disingenuous kinds of arguments being made by Hillary Clinton, although Bernie has been pretty good on this issue, being from Vermont. Dr. John Lott is with us. He is here as president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. All right, Dr. Lott, let's get back to that point you made that in D.C., for example, transferring the firearms is $125. Lots of those people might not have $125. I mean, it's a lot of money for the poor. You or I could do it. Other people could not. And so now you're making it a means test that the only people who could get the firearm are people who can afford it. Since it's a constitutional protection under the Second Amendment, and the court has now stated that, found the Washington, D.C. law specifically as unconstitutional, those people should be able to get access. And I'm not saying there should be the subsidies, but simply just say that there's no fee. Or maybe it's $10 or something that's a nominal fee to process the paperwork. This is discriminatory against the poor, the very people that Hillary and Barack Obama are supposed to be protecting.
Right. No, I mean, I've made the exact same argument. I think you're completely right on that. And we've seen attempts to do this before. But Democrats, every time I've raised the issue, they, you know, it's like holding up a cross to a vampire. They get very upset about the notion that you would exempt people, let's say, below the poverty level from having to pay these taxes and fees that are there. In Colorado, for example, when they passed their expanded background check, these background checks on private transfers in 2013, I was talking to some state legislators there, and the idea was put together to put up an amendment that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. And with the exception of two pro-gun Democrats, every other Democrat in the state house there voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay that tax. In Maryland, where they now have about $300 it costs you to license and register your handgun there in the state, a similar attempt was made. But since Democrats controlled more than two-thirds of both the state house and the state senate, they wouldn't even allow the amendments to come up for a vote. I mean, how many taxes can you think of where Democrats will virtually unanimously refuse to exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay a particular tax? I think it's pretty hard to think of them.
Yeah, they do it all the time, except in this category of guns. It seems to me, wouldn't that be a ripe subject as discrimination against the poor and getting the transfer of the firearm under their constitutional right under the Second Amendment, that this would be a prime category for a lawsuit? Could it not be the case to sue the state of Maryland, for example, for not exempting people and that it's discriminatory to have a tax on a constitutional protection?
Right. Well, surely the courts held that type of reasoning in other cases. So, for example, if a state, like originally Louisiana, tried to do this one time, put even a one-penny tax on just newspapers, the court would throw that out. The court has rulings in the past saying that you cannot tax a constitutional right. So presumably they could go and do the same thing with guns. Now, whether they do that or not, I think, depends a lot upon who's appointed those particular judges. But it's surely a case that should be brought. I mean, you just had a case where the Northern Mariana Islands, which are a territory, part of the United States, had a gun ban. A federal judge threw out their gun ban, and in response, they put a $1,000 fee on people being able to go and own a gun there. They say, okay, well, now you can go and buy it, but before you can buy it, you have to pay $1,000. And I assume there's going to be court cases. They're challenging the $1,000 fee for precisely the reason why you're saying. But there's so many other places that have done similar things. When Illinois was forced to be the last state to allow the issuance of concealed carry permits a few years ago, you know, they weren't too happy. What they ended up doing was adopting a set of regulations, which means that you have to pay about $500 to get your concealed handgun permit. So they were forced to let people have permits, but they made it about as costly as they thought they could get away with, in order to avoid a court challenge.
Well, what you need, though, is groups like the Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Second Amendment Foundation, National Rifle Association, Gun Owners Action League, go down the list. You need these groups to be filing these lawsuits. Look, freedom has a price, and it has one of the prices, not only is cost, but diligence. You can't tire of filing these lawsuits. You got to go after them and get this established.
You also have to be judicious in when you do it. So, for example, right now, you have almost 70% of the federal judiciary have been appointed by Democrats. And with the Supreme Court divided, I mean, here you have four members of the Supreme Court who do not believe that there's an individual right to self-defense, let alone an individual right to be able to go and defend yourself with a gun. And if Hillary Clinton wins, she's already said that she thinks the prior decisions in Heller and McDonald, which struck down the gun bans in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, were wrongly decided, and that she would appoint judges who would overturn those decisions. Well, you know, if she gets to be president, just appointing one judge to replace Antonin Scalia would accomplish that goal. You'd have a clear 5-4 majority then, after Scalia's death, who would support the fact that there is no individual right to self-defense. And if that's the case, then you don't want to have a case before the courts that could go and establish bad precedent then.
No, that's a very good point. And being judicious, as you put it, in bringing cases is also an important point. Is it correct to say then that the two cases in Chicago and D.C. were 5-4 decisions, in favor of the right to keep and bear arms? Is that what they were, both 5-4?
That's exactly right.
So you had Sotomayor and Kagan and Breyer and Ginsburg believing that people didn't have a right to keep and bear arms. So what is there?
Well,
what
Kagan
do they say?
Kagan wasn't on the court at the time, but the other three were, and Kagan's intimated since at least the other three were there for the McDonald decision dealing with the city of Chicago. And you know, it's pretty clear where Kagan comes down on this. So I think you have four solid votes. And three justices who have already said that they would reconsider and re-rule if those cases came before them again.
It's very troubling because the Second Amendment is pretty clear, and what you have in this case is the Supreme Court making law, not interpreting the Constitution.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with you. I mean, look, if it means anything, it has to mean that you can't completely ban guns. If you have a right to keep and bear arms, it means that you have to be able to at least own a gun. And so, I mean, you've had Trump, for example, accuse Hillary Clinton of wanting to make it possible to take away people's ownership of guns. And what you have is the fact checkers at PolitiFact say, oh, well, there's no evidence of that. I don't know how else you interpret her statement that she wants to overturn the Heller-McDonald decisions, because if they are overturned, then the government would have the ability to go and ban people's ownership of guns. That's what those cases were precisely about. And
well,
if they're overturned, there's no protection.
She is very interested in doing what Australia did. I mean, that's really the bottom line. When we come back, we will get to the major entertaining aspect of the program, Katie Couric and her disingenuousness, her political sellout in doing a movie that was supposed to be fair and winds up being totally biased and excludes pro-gun rights positions. Stay with us. Mike Siegel, back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Our grandparents grew up in an era where quality service trumped all, where employees smiled and greeted with their first name. Well, the kind folks at Silver Reef Hotel Casino Spa haven't forgotten. They go for great. Every guest, every time. They invite you to experience the Silver Reef difference. Experience everything at Silver Reef Hotel Casino Spa. I-5, exit 260, 4 minutes west, or at silverreefcasino.com.
You dread going to the airport, getting there too early or too late? Let us get you there at just the right time and take away your worries. Stay overnight in one of our comfortable rooms. Park in our secure parking lot. Take our shuttle to the airport, all for close to the price of what you would pay just for parking. Visit www.seattleairport.doubletree.com to book your park and fly package at the DoubleTree by Hilton Seattle Airport, or call 800-222-8733.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
Welcome back in, folks. Nice to have you with us. Katie Couric used to be an anchor, is no more, has done a documentary called Under the Gun. And it is a documentary dealing with the ownership of firearms by people in the private sector about the advisability or lack of advisability of owning those firearms, about the issues related to gun ownership and or gun control. And it was supposed to be a documentary that covered the various perspectives on this issue. Our guest, Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, was asked, first of all, had a two-hour conversation with one of Katie Couric's producers, and then was asked to actually do the full-blown interview for about an hour, which turned into 4 hours. Now, Dr. Lott, am I correct so far about that?
Yeah, I know. It was almost 4 hours. That's right.
All right. So in the end, you went through all of this effort and all of this work, and as Shakespeare said, much ado about nothing, because you never got into the film, your point of view never got heard, and that you were excluded in its entirety of your interview from that film. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, I kept on being told by the producer how much they wanted to have balance, that they had interviewed a lot of experts on the other side of the debate, and they wanted to, they felt it was necessary to have balance, and so they were asking me if I would go and travel up to New York to go and do the interview, and I said, okay. But, you know, I guess the balance didn't get in the movie.
Who produced this film, do you know? Was it Katie Couric herself, or did a studio do it?
I think it was something called Atlas Films.
So they produced it?
Who.
Maybe it's Bloomberg.
I have no clue. I don't know who paid for it. I'm being facetious,
but you never know.
Right.
But Katie Couric was the talent in the film, correct?
Yeah, well, she was the one that asked me questions. When I went up there, she had a phalanx of producers and others behind her, and they would hand her questions, and she was the one who asked me questions during the filming that we did.
So she didn't ask you the questions of her own volition. These were predetermined questions from producers.
Well, it sounded like she had talked to them beforehand about which questions to have, but as I would give answers. You know, they would decide to go down different paths, and they would go and hand her a list of questions. And there was a short break in the middle of this almost 4 hours. I don't know whether it was like 5 minutes or something, where they huddled. They left the room, huddled someplace else, talked for a few minutes, decided what they wanted to do then, and she came back and had a new set of questions.
Did you feel as though when you were being asked the questions that you were being ambushed, sideswiped, or in any way being led into some sort of trap, as opposed to being nurtured by, let me put it this way, people on the other side perhaps were nurtured in the way she would ask them the questions, leading
right.
them into what she wanted anyway, and protecting them. Whereas somebody on your side, she might just lead you into a trap and ambush you. Did you feel that?
I thought the whole thing was an attempt at a trap, to be honest. I mean, I was generally concerned anyway, I mean, before I went in there, that she has somewhat of a reputation for going and taking people's statements out of context. And, you know, there's the famous, I don't know how many days she spent going around with Sarah Palin and just took a few, you know, relatively brief statements that apparently were out of context there. I mean, if you go and film somebody day after day for 4 or 5 days or whatever it is, you have a lot of film there. And people are going to make statements that are relatively unclear once in a while during that entire time, or you can take something out of context. I've had that done before, so I tried to be fairly careful in how I stated things, realizing that she could do that. But, no, it wasn't a friendly interview. It got progressively less friendly as we went along. And, you know, it was clear to me, at least, and I think the fact that they didn't use anything actually in the film, it didn't go quite the way that they had hoped that it would. But, you know, if I were to go and do a film like that, if I was opinionated in the way that she is, what I would do is I would go and take the strongest arguments from the other side and try to explain why they're wrong. Her approach was quite different. Her approach was essentially to go and exclude any of the arguments from the other side in her movie. So, you know, there are lots of things that we talked about that are in the movie and have no counter to them. So there's this claim out there that 40% of gun sales are done without a background check. It's simply a false claim. It's based upon a very small survey of about 300 people that was conducted during the early 1990s. And the problem is that's before we even had the federal background checks at that time. And people were just asked to assume whether or not, or figure out on their own whether a background check was conducted. Individuals didn't even always know whether that was the case or not in the some of the states that required it. And, and whether a rule that was in place before the federal background check law went into effect, it's not clear how useful it is now. And beyond that, it was 36% of all gun transfers, not just sales. And even that 36%, the vast majority of those were within family transfers, if you believe the survey that was done there. And so, you know, I went through those different points, but you would never know that there was an argument on the other side. You and I talked earlier briefly about part of the issues with background checks generally. You know, the cost of background checks, the errors in the system. For example, my guess is most people don't know that when the president or Hillary Clinton says that there have been 2.4 million prohibited or dangerous people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks, that's simply false. What the right claim should be is that there's been 2.4 million initial denials, and virtually all of those have been what we call false positives. They got the wrong guy. So, you know, an analogy would be the late Senator Ted Kennedy. There was 5 times where he tried to fly in a plane but was stopped because his name was on the no-fly list. I assume nobody would count that as 5 times we stopped a terrorist from flying, but that's essentially the way they count these numbers when they talk about 2.4 million prohibited or dangerous people. It's one thing to stop an actual felon from buying a gun. It's another thing to stop somebody who simply has a similar sounding name to a felon. And that's pretty much what they do. We don't know the exact numbers, but about 99% of the time that people are stopped, they stop a law-abiding citizen who simply had a name similar to somebody that they really did want to stop. So, I mean, those types of issues were brought up. We talked about them in the interview. And, you know, there's no recognition of any of the costs with the background check system at all in the film.
But the bottom line really is that there was an agenda, apparently, and the
right.
agenda was to demean ownership of firearms and
right.
to promote gun control. And it was not really a documentary. It was an op-ed piece, right or wrong.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm just saying, when I was interviewed, they made it clear to me many times how important it was to have me on for balance. They told me, and I guess I've gotten to believe over time that when producers tell you how much they admire your work and how important it is and things like that, the more they tell you that, the more they probably don't believe it. And that was surely the case in this instance, because the producer that I spent the 2 hours or so doing the pre-interview with, I mean, she was telling me I don't know how many times how important my work is. And when the Guardian newspaper recently interviewed the main producer for the movie about why they didn't have anybody on the other side, they said that, well, we had interviewed Lott, but he was discredited. And so we didn't want to waste time having him on. But, you know, they knew my work beforehand. They talked to me about it. And they surely had told me the opposite many times before the interview took place.
Well, your work is respected, and that's the bottom line. And it is what it is.
Right.
It's not about the individual. It's about the work, and the work has been replicated and done by others, including Professor Fleck, Gary Fleck, and others who have pointed out that owning guns by honest people is a deterrent to crime. Mr. Lott, Dr. Lott, I thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and thank you for revealing this very important issue on this program. Good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org. crimeresearch.org, you know, issues like the Australian point.
Right. By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Lockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Lockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays, and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.